Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, titled, We Will Not Serve Thy Gods. This is part of our ongoing verse-by-verse study of the book of Daniel. And all of these studies can be found on our website at BBFOhio.com. In the meantime, if you would like, you can send comments, questions, and prayer requests to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Again, that's the email address, bbbfohio@yahoo.com, and the P.O. Box is 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study titled, We Will Not Serve Thy Gods. Studying Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. This is part 1 of 2. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into our Bible study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And we do thank you for the fellowship we have here. And looking forward to these things coming up. And we just ask, Lord, you help us to always stay focused on the main thing. Keeping the main thing the main thing. It's all about Jesus, preaching the gospel, preaching and teaching the word, and being here for one another, loving one another, praying for one another, and helping each other along until the rapture. And as we go into Bible study, Lord, I just pray you help all of us to focus on what we're learning and take it in. But we do have a good time in Bible study. And I'm thankful we have a group of people who have a sense of humor and can learn and laugh when it's appropriate. We can even cry together. And I'm thankful that the moments that we cry together are far and few between compared to the times we get to laugh and enjoy our fellowship together. All this we give you thanks for in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get into our study, if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, chapter 3. And before I teach, my lovely wife is going to sing a song that is very appropriate for the study tonight.
Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful man who made an image of gold in Babylon's land. He gave everyone a royal command to fall down and worship when they heard the band. You must fall down, down to the ground, worship the image, and if you don't, into the fire, you must go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Jews who would not bow when they heard the news. The Chaldeans went to the king and accused. Those Jews won't obey, and there's no excuse. They must fall down, down to the ground and worship the image, and if they don't, into the fire. Bow down when you hear the band, but the Hebrew children
saw four men. To his surprise, he saw four men, could not believe his eyes. The fourth was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The king told the boys to come back out, servants of the Most High God, no doubt. The fire had no power, God delivered them. He delivers his own, and he'll do it again. So we won't fall down to the ground and worship the image. No, we won't, cause our God will deliver us, and even if he won't, we won't fall down to the ground and worship the image. No, we won't, cause our God will deliver us, and even if he won't.
As the old preacher used to say, if that don't light your kindling, your wood is wet. Of course, I'm turning into that old preacher. I'm quoting him, but now I am him. All right, you got your Bibles open? Daniel 3, 1 through 18 is what we're going to cover. You got to have your Bibles open. I'm not putting them on the screen tonight. Covering a lot of territory, and I just got tired of trying to make slides. There's pew Bibles. Everywhere. We got them all over the place. Yeah. Make sure it's King James. If it's not, we'll have a book burning afterwards. All right. Daniel 3, beginning verse 1. We're titling the study tonight, "We Will Not Serve Thy God." We won't bow down. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to set the stage for that picture. Johnny, if you could zoom in on that picture for the folks viewing on TV, out in TV land. Before I change the slide, I want them to see this. This is a classic picture. If you can see, y'all see that pretty well? And it's a picture of the furnace, and you can see how many you see in there? Can you count them?
Four.
Yeah. Going to see that next time. But I have a different picture, so I'll show you. Yeah. If I remember, I'll upload that. Put it in the comments just so people can see it better. All right. Did you get a good shot of it there, Johnny? Should ask you for that. Okay. Yeah. It's probably why it's so bright. The flash photography messed up because of the... We mentioned, at least I hope I made it clear last week, that I think Nebuchadnezzar is saved. It's not real evident yet, although in the last study we talked about his confession. This is going to make you doubt. I want to tell you that if you knew me my first 2 or 3 years as a Christian, you would have not known whether or not I was saved by my behavior, my choices. As a matter of fact, you would have laughed if you knew where I went to church. Now, it wasn't me doing it, but there were a lot of people rolling around, I'll put it that way, banging their head off the wall, getting down. And new believers... Just keep that in mind as you're studying Nebuchadnezzar. He believes in the God of Daniel. He said so. But in his pride, he can't let go of his images. And what people do is they'll point at someone like Nebuchadnezzar and they'll say, well, he couldn't be saved. He won't let go of his images. Well, some of us had other issues. Thing was giving up what they call left-handed cigarettes. If you know what I mean by that. Smoke. The illegal kind. Unless you live in Colorado. It's legal there now. And it was everywhere where I lived. And now it's heroin.
I thank God I wasn't in high school now, because when I was in high school, it was marijuana flowing through the halls. Now it's heroin, and a lot of them are overdosing. Jenny, do you remember the statistics they were rattling off the other day of how many over... Ohio right now leads the country in overdose deaths. Dayton is number one in the country. Montgomery County, right? Is that Dayton? Did you look it up?
Yeah.
Number one per capita. Of course, in Chicago, there's more people. But we're talking per capita. Ohio is number one, and Montgomery County is the number one in the country. Heroin deaths.
California statewide is the most, with 3,000.
Because they have more people.
But yeah. Ohio is second with 3,200
deaths. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of those people got saved and decided they's going to take one more hit. Did this, you know, real easy to do that when you're hooked on that stuff. I'm thankful I never could get to the point where I'd shoot something up. But once you do it, then you get over that. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to make you down to salvation if you base it on, you know, a new believer's performance as we study this. But keep all that in mind. Begin in verse 1. If you're there, read that with me. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So there you go. Right away, first verse, he's setting up an image. This image is 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Now, I want to give you just a little bit, for those in the building tonight anyway. You see the trim up there where it goes from off-white to white? I believe that's about 10 feet. Now, if you go from the edge of this window to the edge of the other window, I believe that's 9 feet. Okay? So this image is that wide, and you take that amount of space 9 times in height. Did I give you a little idea how big that is? It's huge. Huge, I tell you. That's dated. For those of you watching this in the year 2040, I'm talking about Donald Trump. He used to say that. The image is normally represented like this. Have you seen the pictures like this? Now, if you look, there's these little specks. See the little specks down here? Those are people. That gives you a little perspective of how big this thing was. These tiny little people standing right next to the image. I believe it's more like what I'm about to show you, because over the years as I've studied this, it's highly unlikely they would have been able to build that and it not fall. There are also high winds in this area. And it's really unlikely that that's what it looked like. But if it were built like that, that gives you perspective on what it would have looked like from a distance. Here's what I think it looked like. It would have looked like Nebuchadnezzar had been layered in gold, but it would have been carved into the side of a mountain or a hill, rocky hill or whatever. Now this right here was the work of the Buddhist monks in Afghanistan. The Taliban blew it up. There's nothing but a hole there now. But you can imagine these little holes here are big enough for people to get in, and you can see that gives you a little perspective how big that thing is. So that's what I believe this image was more than likely all about. But that's a little Gregology, like it's all opinion. A lot of these guys, you hear them talk about this stuff as though they know. They've never found that image. They're not going to. But that, to me, it makes more sense. So anyway, we can move on. But I think I have that image of the image in my mind as I study this. And read verse 2 with me. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. This was basically declared a national holiday. So it's kind of like Martin Luther King Jr. Day when they unveiled that big statue. Thankfully, they didn't call on everybody to bow down and worship. But it's kind of similar to that, though. President's Day and years ago, and they unveiled Lincoln. That thing is humongous. I've never been there, but people said it's much bigger when you're there in person than what you imagine when you see pictures of it. Lincoln Memorial, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's cute.
You been there?
Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I've never been to Washington. I'll tell you why I've never... You want to know why I've never been to Washington, D.C.? I'll tell you right now why I've never been to Washington, D.C. Because it's a fascist city, and they won't allow you to carry weapons to defend yourself. And it's a high-crime city. I'm just telling you, I've never been to New York City. You want to know why I've never been to New York City? I think you got to be crazy to go there unless you break the law and carry your gun or whatever anyway. I just don't go places where I'm not allowed to protect myself. I take my family to places like Virginia Beach. How many of you saw the shooting at Myrtle Beach last week? Look that up. Five people shot right on the main drag there where everybody hangs out and everything. Anyway, how did you get me? Stephen? But this is why Baptists have always held to the separation of church and state. Baptists have always been against gun control, but we've also been opposed to the church state. Now, there's two extremes you've got to keep in mind here. Baptists believe in the separation of church and state. We do not support this liberal apartheid movement where they're trying to expunge all elements of religion and God from government. That's not what the First Amendment says. And there's, for example, there's a cross down in Pensacola that a judge ordered to be removed. In his decision, he explained that the Constitution doesn't require that cross to be removed. But he said, quote unquote, it's the law. Now, how's that work? It's because, now listen to me close. I'm hoping you're catching on. This is not something that's even debatable to anybody with any sense. Liberalism is a cult. Liberalism is a death cult. Liberals lie. Liberals have destroyed much of our Constitution by putting judges on benches who lie. And they pretend that things like abortion rights are found in the Constitution. There's no right to an abortion in the right to privacy, the 14th Amendment, that they claim was gave them the right to an abortion. They made it up because they're liars. And they teach this thing called the living, breathing document. How many of you have heard of that? They say the Constitution is a living, breathing document. And it's words. It doesn't breathe. It's not alive. There's only one writing on earth that's alive, and it's this book right here. And it's not changing the way the liberals want. They also, liberals in churches do the same thing in the Bible. Liberals in churches take the Bible and make it say whatever they want it to say because they lie. So the separation of church and state doesn't mean that the church or the Christians and religion and God can't have anything to do with the public schools and that sort of thing. But then there's the other side. You've got a group, and it's called, they call themselves Dominionists. They call themselves, I think it's Reconstructionism, different names for it. But they want to take over and declare the United States of America a Christian nation and make it a church state. And folks, I'm here to tell you, I'll oppose that just as much as I oppose the liberal. Because I'll tell you something, that's been tried numerous times, and not just by the Roman Catholic Church. the Anglican Church. There was a time where if we met like this in England, they would have imprisoned us. And if we wouldn't recant, they'd take you out and burn you. It wasn't Catholic, it was Anglican.
Amen.
There's a place called Geneva, controlled by John Calvin and the Calvinists. They did kill people. The Anglicans did kill people, along with the Roman Catholics who killed people. The Russian Orthodox, where the Orthodox churches are set up as church states in different countries. And they kill Christians like us. So you don't ever want a church state function set up. You don't want that. And this is an example of why. When you get the religion and the government together, it's deadly. Verse 3, read that with me. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So you can imagine that this was basically all the elites showing up. And so what we have here is an ancient version of what today is the Bohemian Grove out in California. Same thing. They have a big image of an owl. And they have all these religious type ceremonies. And it's the political and power elites. A couple thousand of them get together every year. It's, I think, just happened or is happening right now out in California, called Bohemia. How many of you know what the Bohemian Grove is? Five of you? Six of you? Seven of you? Okay, a few of you. Well, the rest of you need to know, so here you go.
Now a question. What have Herbert Hoover, Art Linkletter, Jack London, and Richard Nixon all had in common? Well, they've all been members of the exclusive all-male Bohemian Club in California, where every year at this time, the elite from around the country get together for 2.5 weeks of fun and games. Steve Shepard has this special assignment report.
More than 2,000 members of San Francisco's exclusive and all-male Bohemian Club have once again descended on Northern California. These men will spend most of the month of July encamped on some 2,700 acres of pristine and privately owned redwood forest. Forest very much like this. The place is called Bohemian Grove, and it's located just 80 miles north of San Francisco. The Grove is the Bohemian Club's summer retreat, and its facilities are hidden beneath lush forest canopy extending south from the banks of Sonoma County's Russian River. For more than a century, the camp has been a place where club members and guests from all across America gather to relax. The retreat is divided into dozens of small camps, the most prominent of which is called Mandalay. Among its members are businessmen like Leonard Firestone and Edgar Kaiser, and political figures like Gerald Ford, Henry Kissinger, William French Smith, and George Shultz. President Reagan, Vice President Bush, and Defense Secretary Weinberger are members of other camps. Richard Nixon is a Bohemian, and so are high-ranking executives of such companies as Eastern Airlines, Standard Oil of Indiana, and Bank of America. For the most part, the men of Bohemian Grove are over 50, highly successful, and, according to many employees, politically conservative.
Well, each year, many of them seem to have a stunt, or try to come up with a stunt. Last year, 1980, the popular button was Free the Fortune 500.
Membership in the Grove is by invitation only, and is determined by such factors as social standing, occupation, and personal connections. Privacy is one of the Grove's most cherished virtues. Members may not photograph, record, speak, or write about activities at the retreat. While many public officials are Grove members, the press is a distinctly unwelcome guest.
We're from ABC News.
Well, get back there. Get back there.
Can we talk to somebody in there?
Get back there.
Anyone willing to navigate a boat up the Russian River can get a glimpse of the northern edge of the compound, but that's about all. Still, there are outsiders who have researched the Grove. Sociology professor William Dumhoff found out enough to write a book on the place.
Well, I think it's a playground for the powerful. It's a place where wealthy men from all of the United States gather for 2 weeks to relive summer camp with this ceremony called the cremation of care that begins the 2 week encampment where the body of dull care symbolizing woes and concerns is burned on an altar in front of a big owl statue. When that ceremony ends, they all start to cheer and yell and hand each other a beer.
Other regular activities include the production of two plays, one of which involves major sets, orchestral music, and extravagant costumes. The other play appears to be just a bit on the lighter side, at least judging from these old photos. Members also spend time swimming, hiking, relaxing in the sun, and doing a bit of drinking from the Grove's own privately labeled spirits. Like a boys' camp, the Grove has a symbol, in this case, a somewhat fierce-looking owl. It also has a patron saint, St. John of Nepomuk, a legitimate 13th-century bohemian canonized for his sense of honor. What the Grove does not have is any women, not even as employees. Despite its camp-like atmosphere, the Grove does host some serious business.
To the degree that there's anything important happens at the Bohemian Grove, it's political. The important speeches that have been made at the Bohemian Grove have been made, for instance, and the best example, by Richard Nixon. Eisenhower gave a speech there. It was the first time the West Coast establishment really saw him close up.
Discussions at the Grove in the 1930s helped lead to the development of nuclear power and the atomic bomb. It was at the Grove in 1967 that Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan hashed out differences over their presidential ambitions. Each year, guests like Henry Kissinger or Zbigniew Brzezinski address members on their areas of expertise. Presidential counselor Edwin Meese will be among this year's speakers. And each year, other guests come to the Grove simply to enjoy themselves. This year, CIA Director William Casey is a scheduled guest of John McCone, former CIA director. Baseball Commissioner Bowie Kuhn has been invited as a guest of baseball owner Peter O'Malley. Despite the presence of so many notables, the Grove is not without its small headaches. Anti-nuclear demonstrators gathered near the entrance to the retreat this year to wave signs and chant slogans. The Grove is also facing a suit from the state of California because it refuses to hire women. Still, the Bohemian Grove seems in no danger of passing. Herbert Hoover called it the world's greatest men's party, and there is a list of powerful people waiting to get in on it. Steve Shepard, ABC News, San Francisco.
Amen. Hopefully you did notice it's kind of an older clip. That was 36 years ago. 36. You know what's changed since then? Just the names. Just the names. And how do you know the owl is a Illuminati favorite symbol? You know that? And the ceremony, we're going to show a little bit of the ceremony that was filmed in our next study, but that gives you an idea. You read this stuff, when I was a kid, it would have made it a whole lot more interesting if my Sunday school teacher would have showed me that clip. Because you just think this stuff is, oh, that happened years ago, it's crazy, but you know, it's, people aren't that crazy now. And, you know, you think about people worshiping a man, the Antichrist is going to be worshipped. They're going to call him God. And folks, they already do that. It's just a matter of the whole world agreeing on the man that they're going to worship. So what is it? Ecclesiastes says, nothing new under the sun. Amen. Huh?
All is vanity.
Yeah. But it says there's nothing new under the sun. So you read this stuff here, 2,600 years ago, and then you see it on the TV now. Human nature and the devil. That's what you're looking at. Doesn't matter what year it is, same human nature, same devil. That's why you see the same stuff. And not many elites will be saved. And so that's why you see this kind of stuff. Power goes to people's head and they just makes them crazy. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 1:26, he says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's us. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.